This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long, Cullen Steele, all in studio. We have Mike Hoss, Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak at the Saints facilities. And sometimes news comes suddenly, unexpectedly, and it happened this morning, mid-morning, when Derek Carr and the Saints officially announced his retirement from the National Football League due to a shoulder injury. And for professional athletes, you never know when it comes to an end. And so Derek, after 11 years, announced his retirement from the National Football League. And when they drafted Tyler Shuck in round two, I made the comment, hey, this is Kellen Moore's really first major decision as a head coach, and we're going to see him a lot sooner than later. Well, it's going to be much sooner. I know they'll talk about the competition with Spencer Rattler and everything, but that's why you picked a guy with the 40th overall pick. On our Oakwood Hard Jewelers talking text line, we have on with us the voice of the New Orleans Saints, Mike Hoss. Michael, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. And again, things happen fast. And you were in the news world for a long time, but the same thing applies to sports. You never know when something breaks. If you and I were talking about a story today, my first thought would have been, man, what a great game. I stayed up till 1:30 last night to watch LSU defeat Arkansas in extra innings. But bang, the Derek Carr story hits mid-morning.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. A lot of time in news, but here's what I'll tell you. I've told Steve Geller that this morning, that when your phone blows up at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning, it is never a bank calling to say, we made a mistake and we put $25,000 in your account. It's never that. Never. I kind of agree with you, and we talked about this at the draft. I, post April 11th and the news from Derek Carr and then how the information rolled out at the owners' meetings, pre-draft, David Carr, Derek Carr at church. If you put all that together, and I thought he's never, injury or not, he's not taking another snap at the Saints. I did not think he would come back and be this quarterback. And I think if you even took the injury out of it, if he comes back, he's going to be, he is one throw away every game from the crowd, just who's already all over him. And I'm like, you put all that together and, you know, retirement, quite frankly, immensely beneficial to the Saints financially, probably makes the right call. I mean, if you just told us on April 11th he has a labral tear in his shoulder and degenerative rotator cuff, we just said, oh, okay, well, that changes the whole story. And I know you're going to talk to a shoulder doctor at 12:30. But I mean, you know, not it's been this vacuum. We've lived in kind of a vacuum. They kind of like, he's kind of our guy. He's not kind of our guy. And you're right, Chuck, with the 40th pick overall. And they have, if they'd have wanted somebody else other than Cam Ward, they had the draft capital this year to move around and get who they wanted. So I feel like they got who they wanted. And at 26, when the season begins, you know, he's been in three different systems already. You can make an argument to roll it out there and say, go get him. Or, and I know this is going to be great sports talk information for the next weeks. This team has money now. This team has money to go, hey, is there a quarterback out there, veteran, that maybe we could go after Aaron Rodgers-ish, you know? Mm. I mean, it's the whole thing, the whole landscape changes abruptly with the retirement. Let's say Derek Carr decides not to have the surgery. And he goes, all right, I'm going to play through this. Goes to camp, you know, we go past June 1, but then, you know, he goes, I can't do it. I just can't. It's too much to overcome for the shoulder. And, well, the Saints are out $40 million this year and $69 on the hook for next year. So the retirement, the way it's happened, and it'll still probably officially happen post June 1st, but and it just kind of changes the landscape.
Yeah, Mike, I think one of the things, and we'll get into the financial part of it on the second part with you. I think one of the things it does is this is a really young quarterback room. No matter who they go, they got to bring in a veteran quarterback. Somewhere along the lines here, you can't go into the season with Tyler Shuck, a second year Spencer Rattler, a third year Jake Haener. And, you know, Rattler's had some experience, Haener a little bit of experience, but you can't go into the season not having a guy who has sort of walked down the football aisle before. It does give you some money to go out and maybe get one. I would be a little surprised if they spent a ton of money on a veteran quarterback, knowing you just spent an early second round pick on Tyler Shuck.
I would agree on both counts. Meaning, so your quarterback pursuit is column A, Joe Flacco-ish, somebody that's a veteran, can come in, been around, win you a couple games. Column B is you spend some money and you go after this 1 year, right? This 1 year where you have a last place schedule, you got some teams that you can beat, a division that's always winnable. So I'm not saying that they'll do it. In fact, I don't think they will. I'm just saying that argument will be column B. But I do agree. They need somebody in there beyond that quarterback room, beyond Spencer and Jake. And I do think, because I feel like you got some money now, how about some more help for Tyler? Wide receiver, tight end, anywhere. There's still some free agents out there that can help this football team.
Yeah, Mike, the other part about having money is to secure the people you want to keep for the future. Because no matter how you deal the cards here, this team is in, if you want to call it a soft rebuild or a rebuild, however you want to put it, they are retooling the roster here with a new head coach, a new coaching staff. Now you're going to have a new starting quarterback at the helm. And you do have some age on the defensive side of the football. With Tyrann Mathieu, with a DeMario Davis, with a Cam Jordan. Father Time's undefeated because of a reason. He beat everybody. I mean, you know, ain't nobody got in the ring with him yet and won. So I think that not only to maybe acquire a veteran, but if you have a guy like Alante Taylor, a younger player on your roster that you want to keep, this would be the time to do it because now you have money, I think, really to do both, to help your team with a veteran, but also to secure some of the young talent that you don't want hitting the free agent market in 2026.
Totally agree. And I think that would be, especially with a guy like Alante, who's proven he can play the inside, he can play outside. He's going to take that next step. Don't get to the position where he has the leverage. Right now, you have an opportunity to kind of, you know, call the shots a little bit. And I also think they're going to have to look at some positions of where, you know, it's still early in the 23 class and the 24 class, but those guys beyond round one need to produce. Are they going to, that some of this money's got to start going, what if this person doesn't produce again for in a third year or a fourth year? So yeah, I agree. Take care of who you can take care of, but then I still feel like they need some impact offensive weapons. Just somebody that scares you. And then you're right. And then look at those guys that you drafted, the 22, 23, 24. Am I going to be replacing these guys and not doing their fifth year option? Am I going to end up replacing them? And is now a good time to do it?
Yeah, for a lot of people as well. They're sort of reloading the same gun. To a certain extent, that's correct. But what tells you it's a reload? They didn't trade one draft pick away.
Yep.
Okay, how many drafts you and I have done? Okay, we were just waiting for the trade either to move up or to get a couple picks to move up into one draft. This year, that wasn't the case. And to be honest, Mike, you know, we saw this last year. Look all the picks they had a year ago. Almost the same sort of situation. They see this coming, and I agree with you on this. For some of these guys, it's either smack or get off the pot. Either you can produce or you can go somewhere else. I'm not going to play around with you if you always injured, if you know you can't hit the field. You're not doing me any good as a player if you constantly hurt. And I think there's some major decisions on this football team. I do agree with you. I think to bring in a big man receiver is something this team has to look at. And on the defensive side, the football, you're one injury away at cornerback from really scratching every inch on your body. That's another spot for me that I would take a long look to see if maybe I couldn't make a trade. Or, you know, because what's out there on the open market? People say, well, you got all kind of money now. Go in the free agent market. Hey, I hate to break it to you, but free agency is almost over with. They don't have a ton of talent out there with their hands up in the air. They got some, but there's a reason they're not signed as we're talking about this, you know, on May 10th.
You're right. And so maybe the trade route is a way to go because it was not a strong cornerback draft deep depth wise, and so even though they did pick one, you're right. I mean, we just saw how injuries ravaged this team, especially. There's never enough offensive linemen. Never.
Nope.
I don't care how many you get. Get them and put them on the practice squad. Do whatever you got to do because you're going to need depth there. And same thing on that defensive front. We know about the Brandon Staley defense. But we know and we don't know, right? Well, what it's going to look like. What kind of player is really going to, you know, what this, you know, eventual 3-4 is going to look like with the style of player. So there's a lot of unanswered questions. But we saw what injuries did to this team last year. And I was talking earlier on another station, and they were like, well, yeah, Spencer Rattler went in, but he had no Chris Olave, no Rashid Shaheed, no Taysom Hill, mostly no Alvin Kamara. Yeah, good luck. Good luck. Injuries are tough.
Yeah, and Taysom out of the lineup for that long, too. You throw him into the mix with Kamara and your two starting receivers, and, you know, Juwan Johnson's coming off the injury, and then your offensive line just got ravaged across the board. Mike, hang tight. We'll be back with more of our special edition of Sports Talk here on a Saturday, the Derek Carr retirement. You'll hear a lot more right here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on a special edition of Sports Talk, our Saturday edition. Derek Carr announced his retirement today officially, not only by Derek Carr, but also by the Saints. We have myself along with Charlie Long, Cullen Steele running things behind the scenes, Mike Hawes, Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak at the Saints camp. They were going to be there to cover the rookie mini camp, and things have sort of blown up since, but we are expecting to hear from Saints head coach Kellen Moore at 12:55 today. So when he comes up to talk, we will have that here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike, I think one of the things that we got to take a look at is the salary cap implications here. His retirement, he is going to still get the $10 million, which really was a signing bonus post-date that they made the decision to keep him on the team. So he does keep that $10 million. The other $30 million that he was owed, that they don't have to pay him. Now, here's the bad news, because salary caps are salary caps, and you've kicked this can, and you went to the bank of Derek Carr a year ago for money to basically play in free agency. Same sort of thing this year. The salary cap hit for Derek Carr in dead money for 2025 will be $14.462 million. That's from SpotTrack, who does a great job covering this. And for 2026, it's $35.67 million. So as you and I were talking about extra money, part of the extra money here, you can lap over into next year to kind of pay a little bit of that kind of dead money hit down. So just because he's retired, we saw this year, really with Ryan Ramczyk. Really, Ryan, he really retired after the 2023 season, to be honest. You know, he didn't play last year at all. He sort of kept it going so it wouldn't be a direct shot with the team with some dead money hit. But now you're under the same sort of situation. So while you don't owe him cash money paid to him, that's still got to come off the books from the NFL. And so it'll be $14.462 million of dead money in 2025 and $35.67 million for 2026. That's coming from SpotTrack, who does a fantastic job covering. So there is some pluses to this because of the $30 million, and it kind of opens up money for you. Some of that money, I expect they'll probably try to re-sign a younger player on the team or two, go out, get a veteran, and also sort of pay down a little bit of that $35 million, which you get hit for in 2026.
Right. That's what I kind of feel, that the retirement, you know, this could have played out a bunch of different ways,
yep.
Right? It's May, right? June 1st is around the corner. And had he stayed kind of, I'm not really sure, and we get, you know, he's on this roster, and you're paying him 40 this year. But then, as we talked about earlier, and he doesn't make it, he can't make it through, the shoulder's not well enough, your dead cap money next year was $69 million. So you'd have paid him the 40, 10 plus the 30, and your dead cap money next year was 69. So you're right. It's tough at 50, the 2025 and 26 cap hit from SportTrack at roughly $50 million for both years. But, man, it could have. Can you imagine the dead cap money at 69 next year and him sitting at home? His retirement is, you know, he's, you know how it is with Derek Carr. You either love him or you hate him. Ain't nobody sitting in the middle of that room.
Nope.
And but what this did, you know, he's been a pretty classy guy all the way through. I never understood what was going on with this shoulder situation. I was like, nobody demands a trade with a shoulder surgery at his age. So I never really kind of understood it. Now we know a lot more. And he was battling a serious career-ending injury. And whether to have surgery and come back to a team that really probably didn't 100%, I don't say don't want him, but he wasn't their guy, right? Wasn't their guy.
Yeah, anytime I think you have a coaching change, unless you got a superstar quarterback, man, that's the first thing that head coach is looking at. Because you know what? You tag team partners with him. You get way too much credit when you win, and you get way too much blame when you lose. Now, people don't like to hear that, but, you know, Bob's always saying that here about, man, you know, I got way too much credit sometimes for winning, and I got way too much blame when we lost. But it's part of having that position and playing the quarterback spot. Jake DeLome told me this years ago. He said, Mike, once you make that decision that you're going to be a quarterback. Now, you don't know that when you make that decision, say in junior high school or in high school. You don't know that it's going to carry you this far. But once you get into college and into the pros, you take on that responsibility, And he said the normal individual has no idea that feeling. Now, you get paid a lot of money. Derek Carr's made $119 million in the NFL. You get paid a lot of money, but, man, you, your family, you're catching a lot of heat sometimes for stuff that's really not necessarily you.
100% agree. And he came into a rough situation. Dennis Allen, 2022, his first year, rough. Fans based, not 100% sold on Dennis Allen. He brings in Carr for 23. They go 9-8. But I don't know. It just felt like it was a tough situation for Derek Carr to come into.
Mike, thanks so much for joining us, our first two segments. I know we're expecting Kellen Moore to be on with us at 12:55. We might get you back on a little bit later afterwards, but thanks so much in short notice and getting on with us and giving all the fans some explanation from your point of view on the Derek Carr spot.
You got it, my friend. I'm popping into the practice now, and we'll talk to you later on this afternoon with Kellen Moore.
Thanks so much. Mike Haas, the voice of the New Orleans Saints. When we come back, we'll have on with us Dr. David Elias, orthopedic surgeon at Ortho LA, will join us to sort of explain the AC joint, the labrum injury, the degeneration spots with that. Dr. David knows a lot more about it than Haas and I, so we'll throw it to Dr. David when we come back here on our special edition of Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL right after this break.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big queue. This deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose. Taco to go. Taco to. This deal legit. Taco to go. Taco. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go. Taco to go. Taco to go. $2.99.
We're back here on a special edition of Sports Talk on the Big 870. A Saturday edition with the announcement at around 9:15 this morning from both the Saints and Derek Carr that he is retiring from the National Football League due to a shoulder injury. Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long, Cullen Steele running things behind the scenes on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Orthopedic surgeon from Ortho LA out in Thibodaux. You've heard him so many times on Sports Talk. I never get him on. Good news, so to speak, about because it's always about an injury. Hopefully next time I talk to him, it'll be good news because I'll be talking to him about me. Dr. David Elias. Doc, thanks so much for joining us on a Saturday afternoon. Man, I heard the kiddies in the background when I called, and they were having a good time playing baseball. But, Doc, I think one of the things that sort of maybe was a hint to me was Mike Mayock, the former general manager of the Raiders, on a podcast with his daughter, made a comment that, you know, when there were certainly some rumors about Derek and the shoulder injury, he made the comment that Derek had sustained a shoulder injury while he was with the Raiders. And then now we're finding out more and more about the shoulder injury, the AC joint, the labrum, issues he had. So kind of tell us a little bit about, you know, if you've got a small injury to the shoulder is one thing, but when there's starting to be some instability in the shoulder, the big difference there, not only in the surgery, but also in the rehab.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me. Yeah, of course, we don't know exactly the extent of his old injury or his ongoing shoulder issues. But when you're talking about the labrum and shoulder instability versus the AC joint, which is the acromioclavicular joint, you're talking about two separate issues. Sometimes they can coexist, two injuries with the same accident. But when you're talking about the labrum, that's talking about instability of the shoulder joint, which is a ball and socket joint, and it's pretty common. This is the Drew Brees injury. When he dislocated his shoulder, he had labral surgery and made a fabulous recovery. When you're talking about the AC joint, you know, this is a very, very common injury that we hear time and time, and you hear it called either a shoulder separation or a AC separation. Very, very common. Typically, most of them are, you know, we grade them 1 to 6, and, you know, your lower grades are minor and typically don't require surgery. So grade 1, grade 2, typically no surgery. Grade 4, 5, and 6, the clavicle is separated further and further from the acromion. So those typically need surgery. And this is in all athletes, non-throwing athletes, versus a throwing athlete. When you talk about the grade 3 injuries, those are the ones that are in the gray zone. Sometimes you fix them, sometimes you don't. And of course, what adds to the complexity of shoulder injuries is shoulder injuries in a non-throwing athlete are easy to take care of. It's when you get into baseball pitchers, volleyball players, swimmers, quarterbacks, the dynamics of how you treat them is completely different. So, you know, we've heard talking to you earlier about the acromioclavicular joint, him having possibly some arthritis in that joint. I guess if we're just speculating, I would say maybe an old injury, he could have had a low grade, maybe a grade 2, grade 3 AC separation that he treated non-operatively and he dealt with. And maybe later in his years, through taking more falls, more injuries, now I would presume he could have a little arthritis in that joint. But more importantly, does he have some instability in that joint? Because arthritis is easy to deal with in the AC joint. But if he's got instability, that's a big deal. That's a big big surgery and a big recovery. And the results aren't always great in a throwing athlete.
Doc, one of the things this was a couple years back. Dr. James Andrews, who did the surgery on Drew Brees, and he went into sort of detail. I'll be honest with you, David. I never knew that was the first time he had ever done that surgery. He said, I had never done it before. Now, you would think, man, Dr. James Andrews, who's done surgery, and this is 2006. We're not talking about, you know, 1986 or 1966. This is 2006. He had never done that type of surgery. And so what I'm gathering from what you're saying is that despite all the medical upgrades since then, there's always that in some injuries, the strong possibility you might not be able to recover from this, even if you have the surgery and the rehab.
Yeah, sure. I mean, when you're talking about labrum injuries like what Drew Brees had, I think what probably Dr. Andrews was talking about is, you know, he tore his entire labrum. So a 360 degree all yep. the way around the clock labrum. And that in an overhead athlete really typically is a career ending injury. You can fix it, but to fix it and have, and they can recover fine, but to have them recover and be able to throw a football with the precision and the accuracy and the speed that they were doing before is the hard part. It's why in baseball pitchers, you know, major league, college, you rarely see these guys having shoulder surgery for rotator cuff or labrums, because the doctors tell them, you know, this, if you need it, you need it. You're not, your career's not progressing without it. But we love to treat these conservative, because once you operate on a labrum, you change one little thing about their dynamics, their motion, their stability. And now that, you know, that perfect spiral that they throw might be a little off, and that's not going to work in professional and college athletics. The AC joint, it's kind of a different beast. Like, you know, we go to these conferences and listen to these experts talk all around the world, and you know, there's not a straightforward answer of when to fix them, who to fix them on, and how to fix them. There's different ways to fix them. You can drill holes. You can wrap grafts around the clavicle, different types of fixation, buttons, screws, sutures, adding graft, not adding graft. So there's a lot of dynamics. And the reason it is, a lot of options, and the reason there is because the results aren't perfect, right? We can do a perfect right. surgery, and a year later, they've got a little bit of subtle instability. It didn't work quite as well as we want. And I think that's that's you know, one of those injuries in the AC joint that typically if you have a higher grade separation, you're going to get surgery, whether you're a throwing athlete or not, because the non-operative options aren't great. But if we can get a lower grade separation, we certainly like to treat those without surgery.
Doc, in talking to Drew Brees in the past, he's brought up that, you know, had the surgery, was able to rehab, but, you know, through the wear and tear of the NFL and all the hits you take and everything else, he sort of has become left-handed today. It's that there's just a certain point where, you know, your shoulder and your arm just gets up to a certain level, and that's about it. And so the wear and tear on that. So what I would ask you for Carr in his future, and him still being a young man in real life, him deciding not to have this surgery, how would that affect him in the normal day life for him?
Well, if you're dealing with the AC joint, he can do people do very well with non-operative treatment of those gray zone AC injuries. But throwing a football in the NFL versus doing day-to-day stuff is completely different. So I would imagine, you know, without knowing anything about his history, ever seeing his MRI, his x-rays, I would imagine if he's dealing with an AC injury, he could live a pretty normal life with that shoulder. The thing with labrums, typically you dislocate your shoulder and the initial injury can cause irreversible damage to the cartilage. And right away, you don't see that, but 10 years down the road, that cartilage progressively wears. And that's why you see a lot of these athletes and just weekend warriors who have these injuries, you know, 20 years later, their shoulder is arthritic and they need a shoulder replacement. And it's from the years of progressive wear of the shoulder.
Doc, is that sometimes where you see someone who's an athlete and like one shoulder's higher than the other?
So, yeah, if you look, you know, people say, oh, I have a bump on my shoulder. Typically, they've had an AC separation. And, again, you know, years ago, we never operated on these, even the grade 3, grade 4s, because people did relatively well, you know, in the regular world. But when you're talking about an overhead athlete and that being their dominant arm, you know, you have to get a little aggressive to try to get the anatomy restored so that their function can be restored.
Doc, one of the things,
but that's what you see.
Yeah, one of the things we've seen so much, you know, advance in medicine today, because, you know, when you had an Achilles injury, that was basically kind of a career killer. No matter what you did, it was a career killer. The knee injury, you were out, you know, 18 months. The shoulder injury, depending on the shoulder injury, you can come back fairly quick from that. But there are also injuries where the uncertainty and you may never come back. That's still part of surgery and medicine today.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, every patient is different. They can have the same injury classification, but like, you know, when you're dealing with like an ACL tear, most people recover, but the ones that you see that struggle to recover, well, what people don't talk about is what was the status of their meniscus, their cartilage, other ligaments, and that's what kind of predicts. No injury is the same. No recovery is the same. And you know, you look at a lot of dynamics when you're trying to predict an athlete returning to his level. And, of course, with any overhead athlete, you know, a shoulder injury in like a baseball pitcher, a quarterback, those are all treated differently and very delicately because, you know, the last thing we want to do as a surgeon is do an operation that may make them feel better day to day, but it doesn't get them back to their career doing what they do best, throwing a 90-mile-an-hour fastball, a curveball. You know, you can shoulder surgery can definitely affect the outcome of an overhead athlete return to sports.
Doc, one of the things that would be the last question for you is, you know, you talked about, you know, a tennis player or a baseball pitcher or even a swimmer, but they're not getting hit by a Chevy truck on every play, you know, because, you know, in the NFL, it's a brutal sport. You got a lot of people that have played high school football or whatever, But, man, to play it at this level, you got guys going after you, and the hits you take there, and you've been through it with athletes at the professional level, collegiate level, not just the young athletes, you know, younger than that, but how brutal this sport really is.
Yeah, I mean, football, again, it's like I say, every athlete is different. So now you're taking a football player who has to throw a football accurate and perfect, and then he's also getting hit and landing on that same shoulder. So you're adding another dynamic to his recovery. We just want him to throw the ball, like get their function of their shoulder back, but we can't predict, well, this guy's going to get hit and fall on that shoulder, which then also affects his outcome, taking the repetitive hits.
Doc, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, I really appreciate you taking some time. I know you got something happening at 2 o'clock, but we thank you for taking some time, and take care of the kids.
My pleasure.
And I know they have a big baseball game going on, or was going off because I could hear it, but we thank you for joining us here on a special edition here of Sports Talk.
Yeah, thank you.
All righty. Dr. David Elias from Ortho LA out in Thibodaux does a great job kind of breaking down these injuries. Every time we have a Saints player or LSU player or Tulane, whatever, that we talk about, we go to David. He does a great job sort of simplifying it for people who really don't know the medical world like myself as much as what he does, and the rehab to it. We come back, hopefully, Kellen Moore will be taking stage and talking to us about Saints rookie camp and also about the retirement today of Saints quarterback Derek Carr, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on a special edition of Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Derek Carr's retirement came around 9:15 this morning from both the Saints. Ian Rappaport reported it first, and then Derek addressed it I think maybe about a half an hour, 45 minutes later, that he was retiring from the NFL, decided not to go through the surgery. We've had texters ask about the ramifications salary cap wise, so I'll go through that again. Derek Carr does get to keep the $10 million signing bonus, which was accrued to him once they came up with a new deal and kind of went to the bank of Derek Carr so they could have some money to deal in free agency. The dead cap money hit for 2025 for the Saints, and this is coming from SpotTrack, who does a just fantastic job covering this, is $14.462 million. That's dead cap money space on the contract, but it does free up quite a bit of money now for the Saints. What they do with that money, do they try to re-sign some of the younger players, go out into the free agent market, keep some of that to pay off what's going to be a dead cap hit in 2026 of $35.67 million. So even though he's retired, we've had a lot of people say, well, he's retired, it shouldn't be on the books. No, you got to be able to do it there. I think Charlie's telling me Kellen Moore is at the podium. We're going to go to him now here on WWL.
Yeah, obviously, you know, as we've gone through this whole offseason, you know, Derek's had to go through a lot just as you go through this process. And, you know, obviously making the decision ultimately to retire from the National Football League after 11-year career. I mean, first of all, you respect and appreciate so much that Derek's done in this league, and for the way he's done it, the on-the-field performance, the off-the-field person that he's showcased, and the impact he's had on so many people in this profession is really, really special. And so certainly, you know, coming here, I've always had so much respect and appreciation for him. And, you know, as we've gone through this process, obviously this is how it kind of ultimately was settled. It was really good communication through the whole process as far as navigating this. Again, you know, challenging circumstances with him being injured at the end of the year, and then just kind of navigating things throughout the whole offseason process. And so, you know, I think, you know, Derek, the people that are a part of his life have communicated really well with the Saints. I think there's been really good communication. So, you know, we feel like it was done the right way.
When did you find that retirement?
Yeah, he, you know, obviously that just kind of came down at this point. Obviously, you know, we were more aware of the injury, recently. And so as you go through that process, again, there's personal components to this that, you know, you want to respect people's process as they go through this. These are challenging circumstances for families. And, you know, Derek's been great through this whole process. Sorry, say again.
Retirement decision that down the last few days or the last week?
Yeah, again, he's kind of communicated mostly with Mickey and those guys as we've gone through this process. And, obviously the last few days, they had those communications and those conversations and made this ultimate decision that felt best for them.
Is it nice to maybe know, again, obviously it's a personal decision, but from your standpoint, that there is clarity now and you know potentially what you have working with this offseason going forward?
Certainly, as you go through this process, every player goes through a lot of challenges during the offseason program. A lot of guys, play NFL seasons and they're hard and they're grinding, and guys go through those recovery processes. We got a lot of guys who are going through injury recoveries as we go through this, and so Derek's just like those guys. Obviously, the clarity will provide some of those younger quarterbacks a chance to just get ready from a rep standpoint and an opportunity standpoint, and obviously those guys will be ready and fired up for that. I feel like it's gone the right way, and it's been a good process. Certainly, as we went through the draft process, we certainly felt like adding a quarterback to that room would have been very valuable under all circumstances. And certainly, as Derek's injury became something, obviously there's a little bit more awareness to it. But we were navigating it originally with that plan of if someone fell into a situation that the board fell and that player presented itself, we'd be ready to take a quarterback in a number of situations and cases. And so, certainly we felt like it played out pretty well for us.
Do you feel like you're kind of what we saw today, just trying out at every spot and see where
it goes? Yeah. Kelvin's going to play a couple of different positions as we go, just kind of let these guys get settled. I think for us, it's just seeing these guys in different body positions. And so certainly he went across the offense line today, and we'll narrow that focus as we go through this process. I think for a lot of our guys, every position, we're trying to expose them to a couple different spots, a couple different environments, and just see how they respond, and then we'll settle in as we go.
Will you do the same thing with Talia Sepulveda? Will he play both sides too?
We'll go through that. This is more like the rookie minicamp focus of these guys, just exposing them to a bunch of different spots, let those guys go, and then, we got a couple weeks here as we kind of transition to phase three shortly.
What's it been like for you just to get on the field with your staff and actually be able to go through a practice with you guys and how things are coming together?
It's been great. This thing ultimately it feels like a desk job, the first few months, just all the off-the-field stuff that you're kind of navigating as you go through the draft process, building the roster, building the staff, and so at the end of the day, we all love being out there with the players and helping these guys become the best version of ourselves. It was a lot of fun.
The quarterback position as it stands right now, you lose a veteran. Yep. Is that a spot that you may look at addressing in the next few weeks?
We'll certainly have awareness to it. I think there's a number of positions on our roster that as you go through it, we're kind of at that 90 mark now. And so now you're navigating, okay, what veterans are available, what guys were just in our camp that we feel really good about, maybe giving them an extended opportunity as we go through this process. We know this roster will move certainly in the next couple weeks as you kind of finish the OTA phase of this thing. And so, we have three quarterbacks right now. Certainly, in a lot of cases, you have four, not always, but, certainly we're ready if the opportunity presents itself. Yes, he's just navigating a pre-existing thing that felt like a procedure would allow itself to just get ahead of it.
Was that relevant to the ankle injury that he experienced during his final season at the
No.
Pool?
No.
Surgery after the draft.
They just went through a little medical thing, so.
I know that every situation is different, it's personal, but you were a player in this league, you had to make a decision to retire. Maybe, do you reach out to Derek, do you talk to him about, obviously it's a life-changing decision, that it's going to change what he does. I mean, you had to do it at one point, too.
Certainly, everyone goes through this process in their career. Everyone wants to be an NFL football player, and for the guys that get to do it, it's incredible. It's an incredible experience, and there's nothing like it. Naturally, everyone has to transition at some point to something else. Certainly, we're all are there for Derek in any way we can possibly help as he goes through this process. But he's been phenomenal through this thing. I think this whole organization thinks the world of him. Feels great. Feels like he'll whatever his next step is, it'll be an incredible experience.
When you were in Dallas, you had Dak Prescott. LA, you had Justin Herbert, and then in Philly, you had J.
Jalen Hurts, now that you don't have a solidified answer at quarterback at present, how different does that feel for you?
It's certainly different just from a rep standpoint, obviously. A lot of times the offseason program, you're kind of focused on, you know, building one guy up for the regular season and allowing the young guys to develop and see where those positions lie. We'll rotate all these guys. We'll give them all opportunities. We'll, I think this whole process, we'll be very patient with it and make sure all these guys get the chances to compete at a really high level. Tyler hopped in here and did an excellent job. You know, for all these guys, a lot of times the rookie main camp, we're not as concerned about the physical component. We've probably evaluated that. We see it on the field a little bit, but just how they're prepared mentally, I thought he's done an excellent job. For these quarterbacks, a lot of times really what you care about is how they command the huddle, command the whole operation when they come in here. Because it's a new system, it's new language, all those things associated with it. He hopped in here and really did an excellent job just taking control of it.
So, what are some of the basic things that you're going to see, all of these players here at rookie minicamp?
Yeah, rookie minicamp. I think a lot of it is, again, we've seen a lot of the physical components. We certainly do like seeing them move around and play football finally for an example. But a lot of it's about the classroom, the mental side of this thing, creating really good habits. Again, we were not out there very long. We had 2 7-on-7 periods, one each day. That was really the only component that was somewhat competitive. We really want to put these guys in position that Monday they get into the offseason program with the veterans and they can just go and hopefully put them in a position to be successful that they can build off of this weekend and put them in position to compete, during the phase three components, just from a drill work standpoint and get them ready for training camp.
Are you already looking at Tyler Shuck as your starter for 2025, or do you expect a competition with him?
No, all three quarterbacks. We're going to let all three of these guys roll, and they've all earned these opportunities. We'll let Jake, Spencer and Tyler, all three kind of go through this process. We'll play patience, let these guys compete, let them get into training camp, and, naturally these guys will kind of take care of itself.
Kevin, you've had a little time to spend here in the city. What have you learned since you've been here about the fan base in the city?
Yeah, just an incredible city, really incredible state. I've had so much fun here as our family's kind of spent the last month and a half finally settling in here. It's a really fun place. It's a great community. Quickly you recognize, the impact that the people have on this community. Seeing Cam get honored the other day was a really cool experience for me just to see, the impact that these guys have on this community and vice versa, that's a really special thing about this place. And so I've been here as a fan and an opponent, and those are always unique experiences. Now I'm excited to join up on this community and do this thing together.
You were asked about adding a veteran quarterback earlier. Do you believe the starter is already in this group of quarterbacks that are on the roster?
Certainly we feel great about these three guys are going to get a chance to compete, and we'll let them go for it. And we feel like that's a really good path for us.
Tell me, with Derek's situation, the uncertainty that came on kind of late in that process, and then Tyler obviously not being a member of the team until recently, how did that affect how you would normally come in and install your playbook, with the coaching staff? From a timing standpoint, did you have to do any adjusting differently than you otherwise would have?
Not a whole lot different. Early stage of the offseason program, we're just building the foundation. It's really all about building a really strong foundation. A lot of it's focused on the fundamentals of the game, the foundation from a scheme standpoint. Again, we're not in the complex element of this thing. We're really just trying to focus and teach these players just the foundation of it. And that'll build once we go through the OTAs and in the training camp, and this thing will start steering based off the players and who we have out on the field.
When did you find out about Derek's injury, and I guess what did you find out about the severity of it too?
Yeah, just in March, obviously, as we kind of went through this process. And, obviously, once it becomes a medical thing, the doctors are doctors and trainers, and those guys, they're obviously heavily involved in kind of just navigating that space, and certainly not the space that I'm going to have the expertise on. And so you lean on all those communications.
Did you two ever meet in person while he was coming and visiting with you?
I just missed him because we were doing some pro days. So we were missing, we'd missed us that one time.
You said the communication with the Saints and Carr have been great this whole time, but right for the draft, y'all said y'all were still searching for clarity on Carr's situation. What did that mean exactly? Is it clarity as far as communication or clarity as far as what his next?
Yeah, purely just medical in the circumstance. From a communication standpoint, everything was great.
When you had those final conversations with them, or when you had it with the front office, how much possibility was given to figuring out a way to get them to play this year? Was that even a consideration, like, you know, in the last week or so?
I think for everyone just talks through every situation and what's best for Derek as he goes through this process. Again, there's certainly avenues, but again, you know, he did everything he could as he's gone through this. He's communicated extremely well. He's worked really hard to put himself in a position, and ultimately, this was the outcome.
And when did you guys find out that the labor was torn for Derek? When did that come?
That was just through the communication of with the doctors and all those guys.
How did John perceive, or how did John take it whenever he talked about his personal grievances and the injury during that trip seminar a couple of weeks ago?
I don't know all the context of that, but again, he's been great through this whole process and communicated really well.
Is burn up a lot of the practice, or is that
There's just a navigating. Yeah, he'll be out there. You know, shortly. We're just kind of navigating a few pieces to get him available there. Yeah.
Do you you just referenced places you were before? They maybe had an established quarterback or an established culture in Dallas or in the Chargers and the Eagles. But now this feels kind of like truly with the turnover they had here. This is Kellen Moore's program, Kellen Moore's vision. I mean, there's responsibility that comes with that, but do you almost embrace that? Not to say that parts of the past are gone and that's good, but that this is really kind of a new path forward just with you.
Well, certainly we've talked a lot about, there's a component of a blank slate here, and we recognize all the good that's gone on here, and there's a lot of really special things, and we don't want to lose any of that through this transition. But again, for guys, it's a great opportunity. It's an exciting opportunity for all these guys to just get out there and go for it and compete and, put yourself in position to be really, really successful. And we feel like we got a great group. This offseason program has been awesome. Just every time we've been around these guys, the energy, the juice, the detail that these guys are going into each and every day. We've had really, really good attendance, and so you can feel it around here.
How does Derek's retirement change your, if it does, if it doesn't, like, change your expectations or what's possible?
Yeah, it does not. No.
Kellen, in the back, in terms of building that foundation that you talked about, what did it look like navigating a room full of young quarterbacks? Of course, Spencer and Jacob Diamond back there, but this is truly a young quarterback room.
Yep, a young quarterback room, which provides an awesome, awesome opportunity just to kind of help develop these guys at an earlier age probably than a lot of these quarterbacks. And so we feel great. I feel like we've set this room up in a really potentially successful way just with the experience that's in that room with Scott Tolzien, Doug Nussmeier, Scott Linehan. People have been around the quarterback position, played the quarterback position at a really high level in this league. And so we feel like it's just going to be a really, really good developing melting pot for him.
What is your philosophy or quarterback question, but saw Donovan Peoples-Jones out there for tryouts. What do you see in him and what gives you the idea that he'd be a good addition to the roster?
Yeah, it was awesome to see Donovan out there. What the league provides is gives you an opportunity to add a few of these veterans who currently aren't signed to a roster and give them a chance to compete in one of these settings. And so for them to volunteer and give themselves a chance to go for it, I think you just appreciate that so much. He's been a really productive player. You know, just a couple years ago, he had a ton of catches, ton of production in Cleveland. And so, certainly a guy that when you went through the draft process, he was highly thought of. And, you want to keep an eye on those guys as you kind of go through this journey and give them a chance to compete. I thought he went out there and did an excellent job today. Yeah, again, just like any position, we'll continue to evaluate this thing. Again, we feel like we got a great room there currently right now, a nice little blend of veteran and youthfulness. And so we'll let all those guys compete, go for it. Potentially if something presented itself, we'll make the adjustment when needed.
The way our injury unfolded, did it take you by surprise at any point? Because when you're talking to you at owners meetings, you seem pretty optimistic that it was going to be.
Well, certainly we feel really highly of Derek as a player and a person, and so we're really, really excited about that opportunity. Again, like a lot of players, they navigate a lot of things as they go through this journey, and certainly this offseason, he's navigated a lot, and so you certainly recognize that, sympathize with that. He's been great through this whole process. When you sometimes have to adjust make a turn here, that's all a part of this profession, and you got to be ready to adjust.
What is your philosophy on potentially starting or working QB versus a guy that has experience starting in the NFL? The things you look for to be able to identify, okay, this guy is ready?
I think at the end of the day, once we get on the field and we start, playing preseason games, these guys are all at the same level, same situation, and we'll let these guys compete. A lot of times they'll let this thing play itself out, and someone will rise as you go through this process. And we feel like we got three great candidates here right now.
Is there anything like
you having been a quarterback before and having been in some situations that most that a lot of coaches maybe don't necessarily resonate with in the way that they do it, is there something that's like specific that you might be looking for as a former quarterback from these young quarterbacks that would kind of trigger you like, yeah, this guy's ready?
Well, I would say, you know, the physical component is something certainly we'll all gravitate to. We'll love to see the throws, the completions, the distance the ball's thrown, all those sorts of things. I think a lot of it comes into the operation and the way they operate the offense, the way they communicate with everyone on the field. Again, the quarterback has no choice. It's a leadership role, and there's no real way around that. And so it's really, really important to see these guys take ownership and go for it. And so, you know, that really comes alive when you get into training camp and pads, when you get into preseason games, and all of us get to the sideline and let these guys roll, and so you know, we feel good about that.
What do you see as the
must be a good quote right there.
what do you see, just having been through it now coaching, as maybe examples of the biggest challenges of getting a rookie ready, or as a rookie ready to potentially try to start in September?
I think naturally it's just reps. It's just reps and experience. And, you know, again, there's going to be plenty of adversity and, you know, moments of failure through a preseason and a training camp. And I think it's all about growth opportunities and continue to grow and continue to develop. And, you know, Dak was a rookie in Dallas when he started, and he was a you know, obviously a fourth round pick and probably wasn't anticipating being the starter that year. You know, and so these guys all come from different paths and different navigations. And, you know, we just want to give these guys an opportunity to go compete. And we feel like we got three really good ones.
We have time for two more.
What do you think about Devin Neal with the competitive environment you've seen so far?
Say that again?
What do you think about Devin Neal with your impressions of him so far?
Yeah, Devin was a really attractive guy during the draft process. Just his production, the person. I feel like we got a guy who's just got a great feel for the game. And so we're excited to team up with him. Felt like he did an awesome job out there. Again, as you come out there, you just want to see these guys moving around. He looks great. And so excited to have him join that running back room.
Do you think Kyler's maturity and the amount of football he's run around could help with that leading to the operation and the behind-the-scenes stuff? Does it make him maybe a little more ready for it than maybe a younger guy?
For a number of people, you know, playing under center on occasion, playing out of a huddle on occasion, using a cadence on occasion. Some quarterbacks have been exposed to some of those elements. Not that they can't quickly learn them. Tyler's certainly been around that for a really long time, been exposed to a lot of different systems. Again, I think one of the impressive components of this weekend is him going in there and just taking command of the huddle, calling plays really confidently, decisive, and getting the line of scrimmage.
Thanks, Coach. Locker room's open.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You just heard in its entirety, exclusively here on the Big 870 WWL, the press conference with Saints head coach Kellen Moore addressing not only the rookie minicamp period, tryout camp. You heard him also talk a little bit about Donovan Peoples-Jones, who, man, I remember when he was in high school, highly recruited player, went to Michigan. The Saints have him in on a tryout to see if he can resurrect his career after having some solid seasons with the Cleveland Browns. We'll be back with more of our special edition of a Saturday report here on the retirement of Derek Carr and also spots on the Saints rookie camp right here on the Big 870 WWL. Welcome back to a special Saturday edition of Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. You just heard exclusively right here on the Big 870 WWL the full press conference with Kellen Moore in its entirety, him talking about the Kellen Moore situation, when he knew, when he didn't know about the situation with the retirement of Derek Carr, which happened about 9 o'clock this morning, breaking here in the city. Ian Rappaport was the first to report it, and then, man, it spread all over, and then the Saints put it out, and then comments certainly from Derek Carr. On our Oakland Huatulas talk and text line, we have on with us Mike Hoss, who is at the Saints facilities. And Mike, just we'll find out all the details about when the Saints sort of knew everything, but just reading between the lines and what Kellen was talking about, I think Coach really kind of told you that, okay, we had some knowledge about he had a shoulder injury, but the seriousness of it is recent. I think you can read, and he basically kind of said that the seriousness of this shoulder injury really was kind of recent news for them.
Yeah, when he was asked about when did you know about the car injury, he said March. So we don't know what, because he never really said it when he knew the severity of it. When he was talking about in the kind of the precipice to the retirement, that felt like it happened quickly in the last yes. week or so. Because think about it, this whole thing has occurred in less than a month. April 11th was when it came out about Carr's shoulder. May 10th, retired. So in less than a month. So, but to me, I don't know the severity of what he knew in March, but I will say this. I do not think he felt Derek Carr was going to be in that quarterback room this season. Because of the March comment, and also today's May 10th. He retired. They've never met face to face.
Yep.
That's a little,
that's
right?
Telling.
I mean, I know it can kind of happen a lot of different ways when there's no blame. I mean, he was here for the Super Bowl for a week, but Derek wasn't, and he was going on a pro day, so they missed each other. But I don't know. That to me just kind of, you know, is just another little kind of layer of this from March to April to May to, you know, torn labrum, degenerative rotator cuff, that, you know, it's too much to come back at this age. And then, you know, battle three young guys who, you know, one of which is the coach's draft pick at the 40th spot.
Mike, one of the things that popped in my mind when you talked about, you know, them not meeting, and I do think that is telling, is when Dennis Allen became the head coach of the Saints, he makes a trip out to California to meet with Michael Thomas. And how we knew about it initially, Bobby's daughter was on the plane with Coach, and he was laughing because he told us the story about, man, you know, and she kept looking at me, and finally, all of a sudden, you Coach Dennis Allen? Yeah, I'm Bobby Hebert's daughter. And he was en route to meet Michael Thomas, and Mike was coming off of the surgery that he had, but he made a special trip to California to meet Michael Thomas. This wasn't the case with Kellen Moore, and I think you got that right, that he really felt he was not going to be a part of this room, quarterback-wise.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't. Again, we don't know what anybody knew about severity in March, but he wasn't throwing, and, you know, we didn't learn anything more about it pre-draft from Mickey or Kellen. And they just said the clarity would come soon, and it did. I mean, if you'd have told me on April 11th this whole thing would end in less than a month, I would have been very surprised, very surprised.
Mike, one of the things with the rookie minicamp, and we'll kind of swing it that way because so much of the conversation has been about the Derek Carr retirement is, and I told this to Tommy Tucker Thursday, this isn't about physical play, okay? Man, I know them guys can play. I got a six-year-old granddaughter that can tell you, man, that guy's pretty good on the field, isn't he? She can spot that. This rookie minicamp is really orientation, more on the mental side of things. And they don't give it to you like they do, like maybe in high school or in college, teaspoon-wise. This is tablespoon to see how quickly you can adapt to the NFL, adapt to changes. You may play right corner one time, left corner the next. You play in the slot. He talked about Kelvin Banks, you know, and the positioning across the board. This is more of a mental test to the rookies and undrafted free agents and guys that haven't signed that they're taking a look at. This is more or less the kind of aptitude test on how quickly you can adapt to the NFL, not physically, because we know you can play. It's the mental part of things, because you got to know what the hell you're doing 100% of the time, not 20, not 50, not 60. You got to know what you're doing, because I got to trust you when I put you out on that football field.
Couldn't agree more. And Kelvin Banks, a perfect example, played across the offensive line. Kellum has asked, will Fulaga do the same thing when they start with a veteran? He said, well, this is really just kind of about the rookie. But you want to see him at left guard, right guard. What's that body type look? What's his feet work, you know, in those situations? It's not free time, right? It all counts, and you don't have a lot of time because of the CBA. But, yeah, but let me see it. Right? Let's put him in the slot. Put him at left guard. Put him at right guard. Put him at right tackle. Let's see what it looks like. But you're right. It is about, it's like for Tyler Shuck, it's about the command of the huddle. You know, how's he picking up things? What does he go into that huddle like, this is my huddle? Because the fact of the matter is, in 2 days, they've had 1 7-on-7 each day. That's the competitive nature of what a rookie minicamp is. When people ask, well, how did X look? Well, they had 1 7-on-7 yesterday and 1 7-on-7 today. So, in shorts. So, it's hard to tell. But, as part of your question, it takes another leap forward tomorrow, which is the final rookie camp. And then Monday becomes phase three, OTA with veterans. Now you're in class. Now it's the next step. It's more classroom. How do you adapt? How do you, you know, now you're with the veterans now. And so then it's all of a sudden it'll be, you know, veteran minicamp, you know, will be upon us in June. And we'll start talking about training camp and, you know, the roster, as Kellen said today, will change. You know, we're at right around the 90 mark, but in the next 2-3 weeks, you know, heading into what will be mini camp, mandatory, the roster will change some. And so, but you're right. This is about learning to be a pro, right? Class starts at 8. Are you there at 8:15? Are you there at 7:40? Right? Who are you? And that foundation and the foundation of the offense, which is being installed. And because as we started this, I don't think that he ever anticipated that Carr would be back, that it has not set back anything for this offense and laying the foundation for the verbiage and everything with his offensive scheme.
Mike, if you 8:15 for an 8 o'clock meeting, you have not gotten off to a good start with me. If I'm the head coach, man, your butt is in a sling real quick. No, listen, right. I might be old school about that, but you're not strolling in here at no 8:15 for an 8 o'clock meeting. You got to understand, you no longer on scholarship. You got to earn this. Now, early round draft choices always get a little bit more leeway than later round guys or undrafted free agents. But if I'm a coach, I could care. Once you in camp, I could care less where you got picked. It's about you helping me and this team win games. That's the bottom line. It's a bottom line business. It's a bottom line sport. And I think for a young coach who's never been a head coach before, that is something that is crucial. Because I've talked to a couple of former NFL coaches and guys that have been through that spot. They was like, you know, if I had to do it all over again, I'd have been much tougher off the bat to make sure they understand, hey, you got me now in a situation where you got to perform, because if you don't, I'm fired, and you're going to be playing right somewhere else or out of the league. Right. And I think that is something with Kellen Moore, being a former player, understands all about.
And you look at a franchise that for so many years was the model of stability, and in 4 years we've had 4 coaches and 8 quarterbacks, right? What in the world? So you're right. Come training camp time, I don't care who's who, because – I gotta put the people on the field that help me keep my job. And in the process, we win games. But I got to put the people on the field that are going to help me keep my job, and then we win games. Because there's no 5-year plan. There's no – you look at any NFL coach. It's win now. He's young. He's probably going to have a little longer, you know, rope just because of the youth. And kind of like you say, it's kind of a soft – rebuild, but very much needed. But you're right. Being a player, and you know, you can be 8:15 once, and that's it. You don't get number two. This is a This is big boy time.
Yeah, if you're number two on the 815, you playing for somebody else. You ain't playing for me.
Yep.
I mean, okay. Yep. You ain't Lawrence Taylor. Now, I might cut Lawrence a little bit of a slack when he was playing in that sort of thing. But, man, I'll never forget Belichick telling the story when they were doing the top 100 players ever in the National Football League. And him telling the story about that he started the meeting 10 minutes late. He did not wait for Lawrence Taylor to come to the meeting. He started it. And so he's telling this to Parcells, who's the head coach. And he's like, well, it's your fault, Belichick. You should have waited for LT, you know. But, okay, those type of guys, yeah, you're willing to kind of cut them a little bit of slack because you know meetings for them is sort of like practice. It's for the unskilled. But for the other guys, it's so, so important. Mike, I did quite hear it. But what exactly was the injury with Quincy Riley, the cornerback from Louisville?
He did not say. It was just it was like a minor procedure. They knew before the draft it wasn't the ankle or the injury that he had at Louisville. It was like, you didn't miss anything. You got it all. It just wasn't very elaborated on. It sounded very minor. It was the best time to take care of it, to take care of the procedure. So, it's a big room and a lot of questions coming, but we just know that it was not here.
Okay, on that particular deal, one of the things I'll ask, I don't know how much you watched of the practice sessions itself, but one of the things Archie Manning and I were talking about this, because Archie said, you know, what you see with Tyler Shuck, you know, how he is in the pocket. One of the things I noticed with him, and no matter where he played, now he was a little bit more skittish, I thought, at Oregon and Texas Tech than he was last year at Louisville. And I understand that particular part. He's a bit of a drifter. He'll drift a little left, a little right, and then, yup, right over the top. The ball comes out, and it comes out fast. He's got a real quick delivery, and the ball comes out of his hand really quick, but he stays kind of in that box a little bit. You know, he's a little left, a little right, and then that read is out of there and fast, and it's getting to the receiver, if it's a wide out, a tight end, or running back, really quickly because of the way it leaves his hand. And what you saw is, would that be something you also witnessed in the practice sessions?
That's hard. You don't see enough. We haven't seen enough yet of body of work, right? I think what the answer to that question will be, the drifting left, right, whatever, is what is your pocket presence, right? Can you feel it? Do you know where it is? Do you know, if you're going to drift left, you got somebody coming off, you know, the left tackle? What is your pocket presence like? Because you know who else drifted? He drifted for a different reason. It's Drew Brees.
Yep.
He drifted because he was looking for that lane, and he won 6'5", right? So, yeah, Chuck can drift in. Hey, if that's the quality that you share with Drew Brees, well, I'm all for it. But if you drift, but you're not, you don't have good pocket presence, and you're drifting into trouble, that's different. So, it's too early, but it's something to watch, right? I mean, I think the quick release, he certainly doesn't need to do it to find an open lane. Maybe it's something that makes him comfortable, but that pocket presence in the NFL, because it's 1-2 bang, and if it's not, you know, you're in trouble. So I think that's what we'll have to wait and see when they really start putting the pads on, if it's something that is material, the drifting, or if it's something that is not.
You know, one of the things is that I'm okay with the drifting part. You know who drifted to? Not only Drew, Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning was the world-class drifter, a little left, a little right, and the ball came out. And it's going to be hard to tell in these sessions because you don't have people in your face, so to speak, kind of rushing that throw. And a lot of times in college, you do have 1,001, 1,002, throw it. In the NFL, you do have the 1,000. Now, the difference is the spot between 1,001 and 1,002 is sometimes really condensed. And in the sessions, what they're doing today, I think they just want to make sure you know where your primary read was. And it's much more of a mental thing. And again, we go back to what we started the conversation, making sure you know where to go with the ball, making sure the receiver runs the route right, because sometimes you got drifting receivers, which I don't like. I don't mind it in a quarterback. You drift a little left, a little right. Man, you get a receiver who's constantly drifting. You're supposed to run a 10-yard out. And, man, what are you doing? You're running this thing 13 yards. Oh, first thing a fan say, man, look how bad that pass was. No, it's the receiver, dummy. He ran the route too long. Or they cut it off at 7 or 8 because they don't understand yardage. And sometimes they cut it off or they're a little bit nervous foot-wise. And I think that's the thing with these camps, that once the veterans come in, they want you to be acclimated to the point where you're not going to know what a veteran knows, but they want you to know what you have to do out on that football field, because I'm counting on you as a teammate. I'm counting on you to be that guy, to be in the right place, right time.
Well, it's about reps, right? I mean, it's about and these reps today, just as you say, you know, it's who's going to look back at May 10th and go, "Ooh, that was important."
But did he
know his first read? And so it'll be interesting as we go forward and move into mini camp and then the actual training camp. If this is a true 33% competition, you know, which it probably will be initially, but you can't afford to do that all the way through camp, right? I don't know that you can. You know, they're going to have three preseason games this year. Is it two? What did they do last year? Last year was Arizona, San Francisco, so they had three. So they're two this year, right? Because they have nine road games. So you just don't, like, you got to get a guy ready, right? And we're taking it in this conversation that there is no veteran, right? It's just these three young guys. So at some point it needs to become 60-40. You know, you gotta have to start kind of weeding it out, because that whoever it is gotta be ready. Right? Gotta be ready in September.
Mike, we're gonna take a break, come back to you and finish this off here on our special edition of Sports Talk, our Saturday edition. Derek Carr announces his retirement from the NFL today. Also, we talk in a little bit of Saints rookie mini camp, what able to see out of that, and some of that's basically a grain of salt. Let's see what happens when they get to the real situation when they come to training camp in the summertime. We'll be back with more of our special edition of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on a special edition of Sports Talk here on the Big 870. The announcement this morning at around 9 o'clock that Derek Carr has retired from the National Football League. And also, it's a rookie minicamp, where first opportunity for the guys just to kind of get to know the rookies a little bit and see kind of how they are, how they pick things up. And it's a short look. And, again, it's much more of a mental thing. Have on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line, Mike Haas, the voice of the New Orleans Saints. Also, I was just thinking of this. On March 15th, 2023, if I would have told you that Baker Mayfield has now become the senior quarterback in the NFC South in 2025, man, you'd have had the straitjacket out for me. But how about, goes to show you how much change it is in the National Football League now, with, you know, with Bryce Young certainly at Carolina trying to get into the groove there. Michael Penix, who saw some action late last year. Now it's either going to be, you know, most likely it'll be Tyler Shuck, but, you know, Spencer Rattler certainly in that mix. But Baker Mayfield, he becomes the old pops of the group in the NFC South. And that's why, man, if you got money, ain't no way I would bet against the Bucs not winning the NFC South again. The stability at quarterback does say something about your franchise. And they hit gold. They were really lucky. They hit gold with that. And they've had some good coaching to help along the way with Baker. But that's a little bit of luck. Because when you look across the league, you know, it's people you drafted mostly. You look at, you know, Lamar Jackson. Or if it's Joe Burrow. If it's Jaden Daniels from a year ago, you can kind of go on and on. It's rare that you sign a guy as a free agent, come in, went over the job, and he has really exceeded expectations more than I think anybody could have thought of.
So go back even further. What if he plays that game with the Rams but lays an egg, right? And that's
yeah.
That's the game that really they said, hey, you know, that's how he got to Tampa. Was that game where he came in, knew nothing, right? What if he bombs that game? I don't know where his career is going after that, right? But he doesn't, gets an opportunity. He's not making the most of an opportunity, but you're right. I mean, now he's the senior member. But, you know, that one game, man, did a lot for that young man's career. And they're the top dog, right? You got to knock them off.
Yes, they are. You know, four straight NFC South titles. I'll never forget after the game, Sean McVay, in a joking manner, but I think he was trying to tell you something, that, hey, look, he comes in here, it's like a one-day orientation, but I didn't want to clutter his mind, and he didn't have a lot of mind to clutter. And he laughed about it, but I get where he was going with it, with Baker, because that's the type of situation I think Baker – the younger one flourished in. He was a little bit of a street yard type player. I think he's now become the NFL quarterback today, the stable guy, the stable leader on that team. And you saw his maturity, because you know what? Man, it's humbling. You're the first overall pick in the draft, and you get bounced all over the National Football League. No, that's humbling to you. I don't care how big of an ego you have. That is very, very humbling to you. But it's my thing is not the fall. It's the get up. And I take a look at Tyler Shuck. It's not the falls with him, that things didn't work out at Oregon, the injuries at Texas Tech, kind of the one-year comet shot with Louisville. It was his ability to get up and dust himself off and say, I'm going to show you just how good I am.
Yeah, and that becomes – the selling point, right? That becomes, this is his fourth offense, you know, he whatever, bring it on, you know. There's got to be some similarities in those three programs to it's, you know, it's, they may call it something, but it's the same play, right? And so he has experience beyond what a lot of other guys who might have had gone into college, one school, played 3 years, come out as a junior in one system, not, you know, maybe the same number of snaps because of the injuries for Tyler, but he has an experience level that they don't, you know, offensive coordinators and head coaches and coming back from injuries and just, you know, the age thing, as we talked about during the draft, because he and Spencer are just a year apart, you know, and four on the same day, a year apart. So, you know, I think we get too locked up in the age that he'll be 26 at the start. I mean, you know, who cares, right? This team is not in a position or the luxury to look 12 years down the road. This 2025, 2026, right now, next 2 years, you know, can you help this team get better? Because that's what Kellen Moore's got to be thinking. You're going to get two automatically. After that, we start looking. So,
yeah, and you look hard after two. You really, really do. One of the things I'll never forget Zach Strief telling me about, and we talked about just getting reps in, and he was telling me, Mike, today, because of the new CBA, and he said, listen, you know, there's good and bad with it, and understand now the seasons now are 17 regular season games, and Mike, you're going to be calling it real quick. It'll be 18. I mean, we just around the corner from having an 18-game regular season in the National Football League. He said the young linemen today, and I think it hurts them, offensive line, defensive line, more than any. He said they get about 20% of the reps I got as a rookie in 2006. 20%. That's telling when you don't get those reps in. And, okay, preseason, man, it's almost like touch football to a certain extent.
Right. And that's why, I mean, you know, there's 41 players here. And so it's rookie minicamp, but there's nine draft picks. You know, the biggest group of players that are here are tryout players. The guys that are here, right? Donovan Peoples-Jones, yep, wide receiver, the Tulane, Patrick Jenkins, Travis Martin, DB from Langston, a New Orleans kid. So there's 16 tryout players. There's 5 under contract with the Saints, and then there's the 11 undrafted free agents and 9 draft picks. So of that 41, and you're right, these reps are, they're important because they're reps. Every rep is important. But, you know, you're dealing with tryouts and 11 undrafted free agents. That's 27 right there of the 41. So you're right. You know, every rep is important. And with the CBA, as we said, you don't think they probably wanted to do more than 1 7-on-7 yesterday and 1 7-on-7 today? I don't know this. I bet it's in the paperwork somewhere, right? It's May. You know, so it's a process. You can do what you can do and get the most out of what you can get out, especially when they do veteran camp coming up in June.
Yeah, I tell this to people all the time. I don't care what profession you're in. You could be a lawyer, a doctor, an engineer. Your first day or your first week somewhere, okay, it's different from where you were working before. And it takes a little while for you to get accustomed to it. People say, oh, football is football. Okay, to you, football is football. But not to a guy who walks off a college campus and now is in an NFL camp. Football just ain't football. It looks the same, but how it's, you know, the language of it, what you have to do is totally different from what you've ever done before. That's why the rep work, and I think it really, because you can practice pitching and catching. That you can do. But the upfront work, the grunt work, is really, really tough to duplicate in anything off the field. Mike, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate you joining us here in our two-hour special here on the Big 870 WWL. Derek Carr retirement, rookie minicamp. Thanks so much for joining us here this afternoon.
You bet, man. Have a great day, and we'll talk to y'all soon.
All righty, Mike Hoss, and Mike, it won't be too much longer. We'll have schedule release. That'll be Wednesday. We'll be on 4 to 8 here on the Big 870, giving you the full coverage of the schedule release right here on the Big 870 WWL. Come back to finish it off here right after this break on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here on our special edition of Sports Talk, our Saturday edition, retirement of Derek Carr, also coverage of the Saints rookie camp. I want to thank Diane Newman and Ian Hoke for piecing this together along with my guy behind the scenes, Charlie Long and Cullen Steele did a great job. We did this real quickly. Mike Hoss, want to thank him also for helping us out. Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak, getting interviews that will play all next week. And certainly Dr. David Elias from Ortho LA. Thank you for listening. And we'll have a lot more sports talk, a lot more car talk, quarterback talk, rookie camp talk, starting Monday, right here on the Big 870 WWL.